is there a point where this reached what you're calling a crisis level?
Oh, yeah. There is 100% from the testimony we got that I'm taking to Washington on Thursday. It is in the crisis level. The hurt will feel in 30 days, it'll hurt more. 90 days, it'll hurt a lot more. Next fall will be the big hurt. We had tremendous input from ethanol plants that are running at 30% capacity. Now, keep in mind the ethanol plants, the small ethanol plants have had five tough years. And this is the year that they could catch up financially. For the small town investors that invested in these to keep their community alive. And they've basically been shoved off the tracks. And it's very frustrating when you're in a year that you could make some money. And because of this, you can't. And you actually lose money when you run a plant at 30 to 40% capacity. We hear testimony from grain companies that are so worried about when May and June comes, when the it gets warmer out and the humidity goes out up, of these piles of grain that are going to go out of condition. To what point, to what extent, nobody knows. But it's going to happen. It's there already is some loss. You see, some of this grain should have been shipped 6 months ago. And so we heard testimony from them, and we've got some tremendous bullets to take to Washington, D.C. I was surprised at the one short-term fix that we presented to them today was an executive order for the President of the United States to give the executive order to have the Burlington Northern, within a week, bring their equipment back to agriculture. It's agriculture that is in the big engine in America. And to bring it back from the Bakken's. Anyone can understand what's happening if you just start driving west of Jamestown all the way to Montana, where there's thousands of grain cars piled up where they sat along the siding. And what's ironic about it here, it sits right on the interstate for the public to see, and they just took the engines of the crew and ran them into the Bakken's to ship oil. Now, the Bakken's need to get their oil shipped. There's no question about that. But in reality, they're a Johnny come lately in the last couple of years. It's agriculture and coal that has maintained the rail system for the last 100 years. And so it's an issue of fairness and justice. And it has to be changed. For a long-term solution, we suggested today that you approve the Keystone Pipeline only with the fact that the Bakken's have 100% access and a cost access to that pipeline. That has to be negotiated for a long-term fix. Because right now, that Keystone Pipeline doesn't do a lot for America. It takes low-grade oil out of Canada and ships it to the Gulf, and then there it goes to China. That was the original intent. Now, they changed their website a little bit and said, well, we are going to provide some access. There's no guaranteed access. The whole thing could be built and enlarged capacity to handle capacity for the United States oil development, too. That's what's important. And I do think that there is a very good chance that we can allow for, during this crisis, to allow competing railroads to run on the Burlington Northern tracks and come up here and get spring fertilizer in and grain out, even regardless of that happens. I don't know how long this crisis is going to last. It's going to take time for all that, but we need every car we can. If this country goes, there's going to be areas that are not going to have enough fertilizer. That was said today as a foregone conclusion. Maybe it's time for me to do as Franklin Roosevelt said, to sit down and be quiet and listen to a question you might want for me.
Well, I will just first of all have some comments from Burlington Northern. Did ask for them to participate. They did send a prepared statement, and they said, we're not favoring crude shipments over other shippers like agriculture. This is a case of rapid growth for several commodities using parts of our railroad network that hadn't previously seen that kind of volume. While our network can manage some excess demand, the added demand has come during one of the hardest winters on record in terms of low temperatures and snowfall. Low temperatures and snowfall are especially difficult for a railroad's operations. Also in the statement, crude did grow, but it represents about 4% of our total traffic. And also in the statement from Burlington Northern, we are taking aggressive short-term action and over-resourcing the railroad, bringing in extra crews, locomotives, and equipment to increase fluidity to the system and work down the past due orders. While we do expect some short-term impacts to our business due to the service interruptions, we do expect to recover. That's part of a statement from Burlington Northern. It almost sounds like the railroad is kind of stuck in the middle here with pressure from both the ag producers and the oil. Is there an easy way for them to
absolutely
work with these?
Absolutely there is.
Okay.
It's a tragedy when agriculture takes a backseat to oil. The Bakken's is a Johnny-come-lately. They weren't there to pay the bills to keep railroads in business for the last 100 years. And their statements that they just mentioned in their release don't hold water on some of it. I had the opportunity to visit with former people that were in the rail business. And this winter, they're using kind of the weather as an excuse for partially, and they could maybe get away with it. But they said, my God, 50 years ago, we ran in the 50s, we had tougher weather than this, and we kept everything going. And some of the retired rail people say that they point right at Warren Buffett, the owner of the Burlington Northern. They haven't updated their equipment. They got a lot of equipment that has taken a back seat to profit. You know, they just posted in Berkshire Hathaway an $18 billion profit this year, up $4 billion from last year. You have to look at, and you need to look at, where did some of that profit come from, and at the expense of who? You know, they could put out some pretty good press releases, but they better hold water, and they're not holding water as far as I am concerned. I won't speak for anyone else today.
You're speaking for yourself.
But there's a lot of people today that made comments that I got to speak on their behalf too.
Now, when you're dealing with the fertilizer coming in and trying to get the grain out, are there any other options other than moving that in and out via the rail lines?
With some fertilizer you could bring in trucks, it makes it a lot more expensive. But these big fertilizer terminals that have been built now were built for rail unloading and for rail shipment. And these co-ops put a lot of money into the investment into these facilities, and they need to turn them 5 or 6 times to make them pay. They're telling me today, if we, they're lucky if they get them turned twice this spring. You know, rail is the only answer, you know. We have built businesses around a monopoly that has, and I will make this statement and I will stand by it. They have doubled their price on the shipment of grain out, and they have made their service more rotten, is the way to put it. They have almost eliminated their service. Now, from an old-fashioned standpoint of view, it used to be if you're going to increase your price, justify it by putting out a better service. They have not done that. They have doubled the price and dropped the service to a very low level.
Well, Mr. Jones, I'm wondering if you mentioned the long-term solution, getting the Keystone pipeline built for the Bakken oil fields, moving that. Then the short term, you mentioned wanting the president to issue an executive order for Burlington Northern to bring in needed crews and equipment to move the harvested grain.
And to bring the fertilizer in.
And we
need that executive decision by next week. We need it.
If that doesn't happen, what can be done in the meantime? Are farmers just out of luck?
We're screwed. That's the best way to put it. We are basically the time bomb is ticking in the Upper Plains area in North and South Dakota, Montana, Minnesota. It affects this Upper Plains. We're just plain screwed.
So this is more than just the northern corridor up there, other than by Aberdeen.
And it is going to reach beyond the Upper Plains before it's over with. There's already complaints. Canada's in worse shape than we are. There's complaints now starting to surface in New York about rail service. One idea that did surface today, which would be I was surprised that a gentleman brought up the idea of the co-ops and the ethanol plants going together and owning some of their own rolling stock to control their destiny. They've got such a tremendous investment out there. They need to be able to control their destiny. If it's going to continue this way, where profits are going to take precedence over service, then it's something that is going to have to be considered. And it can be done, because the railroads, regardless of who owns them today, they've changed hands 5 or 6 times. I don't care who owns them today. That land was given to them to develop America. And they did a good job of developing America, but they also dismantled a good part of America in the last 50 years. They didn't ask those little towns, do you care if we eliminate your service? Did they ask the drugstore owner? Did they ask the elevators? We have seen the biggest erosion of where the railroad has exited these towns. They didn't care about Eureka and Hosmer and Leola and Edgley, North Dakota, or Columbia or Stratford. It's all over the scars of the old banks that are still there. They didn't ask those elevators. They had a little hearing and pretty much had their way. And they just rolled it up. And maybe it's time for a moratorium until we figure out which way this country's going, that we are not going to roll up any more steel anymore, until we figure out what is best for this country. Because at times, monopolies, a monopoly is a business that has a captive area. And they could pretty much do what you want. And that's why we have the Transportation Board to oversee that. But maybe we need to ask the question and put some of this stuff to a halt and say, not for a while. We need to look over the direction this country's going and look at the needs and not the profits of a monopoly.
Now, you're heading to Washington for the National Surface Transportation Board hearing.
I am.
Are you going alone? Are there others from your area
I'll
going
tell
with you?
You what, there, I think I'm 23rd in the docket. I'm lucky I got on. Most of them are companies. To tell you the truth, I'm trying to hitchhike a ride to Washington. There's a chance that I won't even get in there because you cannot get into Washington, D.C., through Baltimore, Boston, or Dallas Airport, or Ronald Reagan Airport. It's virtually impossible, and you can't get out. Because of we moved this hearing up today to prepare for it, I'm trying to hitchhike a ride. My best chance right now is to fly into Chicago and get on the train for 14 hours. I am going to call Breuen and Associates. I understand they've got a plane that might have room for me. I just found that out today at the meeting, but it's I'm going to get there one way or the other. I just don't know how yet.
All right. Well, Mr. Jones, I thank you for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and safe travels to Washington, D.C., however you get there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, feel free to give me a call. I don't know how welcome I'll be there because of these previous things that we thought needed to be surfaced now. I'm a little worried about maybe some of the comments I've made and asking for an executive order. We don't have time for hearings after hearings anymore. We need action right now.
All right. Well, Dennis Jones, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
That's Dennis Jones. He's a northeastern South Dakota farmer. He served on the board of the South Dakota Wheat Growers, co-founder of the South Dakota Corn Growers as well. Earlier this morning, he held a press conference to discuss solutions to rail service problems. And on Thursday, as we just mentioned, plans on attending a National Surface Transportation Board hearing in Washington, D.C. about the matter. And we'll post the Burlington Northern Railway's prepared statement on the rail service on our website at sdpb.org. So we'll get that up there later this afternoon so you can read that.